Yes, also, she comes to our first service. And then also the Philpotts, they're over there on the third row, fourth row, amen. Give them, thank y'all. I didn't miss anybody, right, Jamie? Those are our dedicated, everybody cleans, but they really clean. They do that deep clean and just make it happen for it. The church really relies on volunteers during the season. It'd be great to pay somebody one day, but you heard about different things called budget and trying to pay off a $3,000 mortgage that we get every month and then some. It helps. The other thing that I may extend myself to this point is this. Just we're going to probably need to cut the grass. And what that means is we used to hire a guy, and honestly, the rate was $75 to cut this big lot. Isn't that incredible? So what would be easier? Somebody giving that $75 or us getting out here with lawnmowers? I would give $25 if somebody would give you $25, and then, because most, especially the guys over 50, they're all going, yeah. So if you think about it right now, and you might say, Pastor, I really, I have a lawnmower, but I'll come out here and save the church that $75, because we really need it. That's how critical it is, not to give you some bad, it's all good news. We can either do it or we can, but if you have that within you, don't forget to tithe, because that's what you should do. Above and beyond that, that's where you may not be able to give all the 75, but my 25, your 15, your 50, amen. It adds up pretty quick, right? Your 1,000. Can I hear a good amen on that? Get the whole thing paid off for a year. How about that, right? Lawn services. So think about that in just a good way. Mama never said I was good at raising money, but that's okay. That's all right. Give me a good amen. Is that okay? Yeah. Hey, the RJW small group kicked off. It was great this past Saturday. We're going to start a little bit later because of what we had to do this Saturday. We got Mike married. By the way, Joe gave this speech. He was the best man, and he did this thing about 1 Corinthians 13, about the love chapter to Mike. You should have seen it. Mike was crying. I was crying. I wanted to repent just on his speech. Anyway, it was great. Mike will be here in a few Sundays. He's going to be on that honeymoon that he's on, and he'll be back to kind of, anyway, we'll talk about that transition later, but y'all know about that. Amen. Anyway, 9 a.m., y'all are quiet. 9 a.m., O.P. Schnabel Park. We're doing it. That's right off Bandera. Come walk with us, jog with us. There's no set thing, and there's even bicyclists. We just realize it's important to extend our longevity in this human temple that we have, that we'd keep on going off. So if that's y'all, you want to come to that, join us at 9 a.m. sharp. It's a wonderful time to exercise and get out there. We start off with a Bible scripture, we'll pray, and then we kick off and just walk, jog, or run. Is that okay? Yeah? Amen? Next slide, as we keep going, real quick, just some reminders real quick. Get ready for the barbecue chicken sausage plate lunch faith raiser. We don't do fundraisers, so we do faith raisers. We're Living Faith Church. And so all ticket sales, all family. Again, many of you really got Jamie. I mean, she had no more tickets, but you went ahead and printed more. Amen. So if you weren't able to get your tickets, you're part of the church family. This is part of your church. See Jamie on the second row. She has tickets ready for you. You want to go ahead and take that. What we don't want is you selling to church members. Amen. We're notorious for that. We want to extend our hand towards people on the outside. And if you'll do that, next slide, we'll keep going real quickly if you'll help me with that. Worship in Pink Sunday is coming up October 16th. We thank God for all those that have survived cancer, that are healed of cancer. We're going to celebrate those lives because Jesus heals still. Amen. We're a church that believes that. I said Jesus still heals, right? Amen. There are those that are healed in heaven now. We're going to celebrate their lives too. We have mighty testimonies in our house. But you don't have to wear the full pink. Amen. You can wear maybe a pink tie, pink socks, amen, whatever it might be. Some of you people will wear pink everywhere, and that's okay. But you want to make sure that we worship in pink. It's a great day of celebration for us. And finally, I think we have two more slides or one more. First Wednesday this week, make sure that you come back. Joe will lead us in that, and it'll be wonderful. We'll also serve communion. Do I have any more, Sophia, or is that it? Okay, good. You can show me the first slide. Welcome to Living Faith. I want to welcome every visitor that's here. First-time guest, you're here in the house. Let's welcome them. Come on. We are faith that you can see as we gather, as we grow, and as we go. Thank God for the gathering of God's people, that they can see it in the way we worship God. As we grow in God numerically, as we grow spiritually especially, those people are growing in faith, they're saying, because we're identified. They don't care so much of what goes on Sunday morning in here, people that are watching this church. They care more about what you take on the outside. That's what I want them to see. How about you? Yeah? And finally, that's why you're going. Amen. The main purpose of the church isn't to really world evangelize. It's that we would equip the saints for ministry, that we'd put goods within you, that you'd walk out in your workplaces, in your schools, in your neighborhoods, and you would be the light of Jesus. We're not here to build a crowd. We're here to build an army. People that serve the community, people that love the community, people that shine the light of Jesus, faith that you can see. Amen? Hey, I heard a funny story about these two brothers named Porfulio and Hulano. They were terrible troublemakers. They were caught stealing, lying, cheating, all sorts of trouble. These were the boys. Do y'all have anybody living like that in your house? Amen? Finally, you know, the parents gave up. They heard about this preacher that lived down this, that was rocking this church and happened. He says, you're going to take him to that preacher. He's going to cast out those demons. Something's different is going to happen. So he sat the two boys down and he asked them in the office, closed the door. He said, where is God? Asked them that tone, that voice. Well, those boys are just like speechless. They didn't know what to say. Hulano, Porfulio, they looked at each other. He said, you know, he had a word of wisdom. He said, you know what? I'll get one of the boys out, the younger one, Hulano, go home. He says, I want to talk to your brother alone. And he gets, Hulano leaves, goes home, hides out, you know, in the bedroom. And he's there with Porfulio. And he raises his voice a little bit higher and he goes, where is God? And Porfulio's like shifting in his chair. And he's saying, you know, God's getting a hold of him, man. You know, so a little bit louder. Where is God? And Porfulio at that point just, he does something so expensive. He gets up out of the chair and runs home, just out of the office. Ah, you know, running home. And he gets there and he finds Hulano in the closet crouching because he's scared. And he goes, man, I don't know what we did, but God's missing. And they think we did it. You know that's funny, amen. I don't care what you say. Questions, we all have them. Sometimes, where's God? And now it's time for some answers today. And the question, the Q&A series is, we asked at Easter, what would be something that you would want to ask, a tough question that you'd want to get an answer from? And so we grouped them. Week one, we did the series of, are we living in the last days? And we saw that. That's found on our website. Week two, we did stress. Why am I so stressed out? How do I live with stress? How to overcome stress? That's week two. Week three, last week, we did, how do I share my faith, which was incredible. And we weren't really asking about ourselves or well-being. We asked, you know, what should I be doing for Jesus? Because we realized it's a mandate to every Christian that they would evangelize, that they would share their witness. And this week, along the same lines, we're wondering, really, the question that was number four was, what's the will of God for my life? I want to do what God wants me to do, but how do I know to do that? We all have questions about that. How do I hear from God? How does God direct my footsteps and that sort of thing? I think what's wrong with the generation that we have and which filters into our culture sometimes, we've gotten so self-centered that here's what we want to do. We want to do something like this. God, I'm going to do my will, and I don't really care about your will, but I just want you to bless my will. Just go along with me, God, and do what I want to do, and everything will be. I know I'm talking to the Baptist church down the street. That ain't anybody in this church, but we sometimes want, I believe, we want God's blessing after we've already done something, and we've ran into it. Well, I can't do anything. You've already done it, right? Or you ever get this sort of statement? Well, I heard from God, and God told me this. And it's way off, and you know it's way off, but what can I do? God's already talked to you. Yeah, I mean, God told you that, so you better go do it. Jump off the cliff like he told you, I guess. Anyway, y'all, you don't hear what I hear. Some, not most, but some do say, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I just bless my will, Lord, today. I'm speaking today to the individual that would be like this. We serve a personal God, and God's personally involved with every heart in this room, even our loved ones, our neighbors that aren't even here. And he wants to love them that same way. Because God's a personal God, he'll come down and give you a personal plan just for your life, to do something that no one else can do, that only you can do, because he loves you that much and he has a personal plan. Isn't that good, church? Y'all receive that? Yeah? I'm going to give myself $10 in a minute because I'm preaching so good without you saying amen. What's God's will for my life? In James chapter 4 on the big screen, verse 13, James got a hold of his church and he said, you know, there's some of you in this. Now listen, some of you have said this, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city and spend a year there. carry on our business and make some money. And it's almost like you're saying, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm not even going to check in with God, but the will of God is happening right now, and God wants you to get on board with it. Why do you even ask what will happen tomorrow? And I found that incredible here. What is your life? In other words, now your life is like this. It's like a mist that would rise up and appear, that boiling steam that would rise up. Just for a little while, then it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live. We will do this or that. I used to have that pastor in my life that would, he's with the Lord now. He said, he said it in Spanish, so I'm not going to repeat it. He said this, if it's the Lord's will, we'll be here Sunday. He was always saying that. If it's God's will, he lived that way. And I found we need more Christians like that to live that way, to say, if it's God's will, then we'll do that. We go after, instead of the temporary, you go after the eternal, right, folks? Because that's what counts today. In John chapter 1, John 1:17, it's in your handout. Let's read it together out loud, not out soft. 1, 2, 3, go. The world and its desires, but the man who does. Y'all are reading kind of soft today. I don't know what's going on, but I'm bringing it. I want you to bring it back, right, every day? Yeah, is that okay with everybody? Yeah. There's great questions that we ask. This is a great question. What's the will of God? But if you noticed in seasons in life, we ask questions like this. Even as a chavalon, a little kid, you start asking, should I play baseball or softball? Should I play football or basketball? Should I go out for the swimming team or should I go out for the golf team or tennis team? And you get a little bit older, should I take that elective or this elective? Or what should I do in high school? Should I go after this? What college should I apply for, this college or that college? Should I, you know, you get, should I marry her? Should I marry him? Should I, you go on, you keep asking these questions. You get, should we buy a house? Should we rent? Should we have 5 kids, 4 kids, 1 child? What should we do? And you start asking these questions as you go through life. Should we have a dog? Should we have a cat? We all know the answer. You should have a dog. Amen. Cat. Dogs are from heaven. Give me a good amen. Cats are demonic. Amen. I can be pressing it a little bit more. The Bible says this, that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Right, everybody? And because we know the shepherd's voice, they don't listen to the stranger, the hireling. They don't listen. Hey, come over here. Come over here. That stranger's telling them. And no, they're listening to the... And so how there are bad methods sometimes that whisper to us that make us walk this way. And they're kind of funny. I've learned them through the years, even in the church. Really, the church taught me them. And they're not even biblical. One is this fleece method. The fleece is like this. You throw it out there. If it rains tomorrow, then we're going to church. If the sun's out tomorrow, then I'm going to go ahead and share Jesus with that boyfriend of mine or that girlfriend of mine. And that's not God, whether it rains or not. Y'all understand it's a fleece, and that's not biblical. It's not right. It's kind of like that guy that was on that 21-day fast, and he was on day 18, and he was staying strong, but he drove by Krispy Kreme, and the Krispy Kreme light was on. It's always on, right? It was red, blinking, and he got tempted. He said, if it's the Lord's will, I'm going to break this fast. If there's a parking space right in the front. And he kept circling, and the fourth time he circled, sure enough, there was a parking space, and he broke. And that was a fleece. How many know that that's not biblical? I have a pastor friend that a couple of them have done this, and they taught me it was the wrong way. They said, whatever I do on Sunday mornings, how I preach to my church, I throw open the Bible, it lands on my bed, and then wherever it opens, I go ahead and put my finger on it, and that's what I preach to the church on Sunday morning. And there's no preparation. It's just from that Sunday morning that he puts it. And that's not good, because it's kind of like you flip and point it out to the Bible. And one time it landed on, and Judas hung himself. And he said, no, I can't preach on that today. You got to be careful what you point to in the dark, right? Give me a good amen. Or in the Bible. Is it the will of God? Is it wide or is it narrow? And is it just that I get real close with God, or is it so wide that it just overlaps? Like, am I marrying the wrong person? Did I marry the right person? I know, don't raise your hand right now. She's sitting right next to you. Bad idea, right, everybody? Or if you're in a car with an Uber driver, when it's his time, it's his time. When it's your time, it's his time. But what if it's his time and you're with him and you both die and it wasn't your time? You wonder about that. I'm going to give you something right now that you can put into practice that you can spiritually do right now. I always give you the spirit first, and then I give you the practical. And the practical, the spiritual first is this, you know, about should I get married now, go out of state for going to school? Should I apply for that job? There is this, the sovereign will of God. And the sovereign will of God is really, what is God doing on the earth today? We know that God is moving, and it's the corporate thing. God will never go out, and you should never go out of the sovereign will of God. The sovereign will of God is best explained kind of like the NFL football team. As long as they play within the zone, the parameters, and they don't go out of bounds, the clock won't stop. The game won't stop. But if they play in the bounds of what God wants, they can keep running the plays, make the touchdown, score, score, score. What God doesn't want you, he doesn't want you in the grandstands. He doesn't want the second string bench, the injured reserve people. God doesn't have anybody like that on God's team. Where no one's an injured reserve player. No one's Tony Romo. Aren't you glad? Aren't we praying for Tony to just go ahead and retire after what we've seen? Give me a good amen. Dak to the future. Give me a good amen. 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 God's team. Amen. Y'all ain't Cowboy fans, I guess. Amen. At 3 o'clock, God's team plays. I pray that you're watching in holy attendance. No. In other words, the sovereign will of God, you cooperate with what God is doing. And you do what is God doing on the earth? I know God's into worship. We worship God. God's into the Word of God. God's into church. God, you do the sovereign will of God. God's moving, amen. And so Jesus kind of did this in the order it should be in. When he taught his disciples to pray, he said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life." Before he asked for a tortilla, before he asked for bread, before he said, "Give us this daily bread," he asked first, "Kingdom of God, come to my life, be done will of God." There were priorities, there were order that he did before he asked for his provision. The same way with you, beloved, and me. We had asked for God's priority today. The second thought is the moral will of God. Moral is, the Bible would speak of morals in our lives like, well, the Bible says one of the morals is marriage is between one man and one. And I'm glad you got that right. Because our culture's telling us something different today. I don't judge those people, but we're going to do the moral will of God. And the moral will of God is to do what God... And if we step out of that, we're not going to get the will of God in our lives. Do y'all get that today? What has God already said in His Word? And you do it. You walk the way God told you to walk today. Couples in this room today, I can announce to you we have a few of them. And thank God we're not spotlighting them, but... thank God they're obeying God. They got married. Amen. They were so in love with each other that, you know, they put a ring on it. Give me a good amen. I'm proud of those guys. Give me a good amen. Come on. Give them a good hand. Encourage them. They're doing what's right. Yeah. We're not going to live like the world. Amen. We're going to do what God wants us to do. Finally, there's the personal will of God. Amen. And that's, how do we know what to do next? In 1997, long ago, Irma and I wanted to know what to do next. I was serving as an associate pastor in a large church in Ohio, Columbus. I even forgot the city now. It's been so long ago. Columbus isn't from God. It's cold up there. Don't go up there, amen? Man, it's cold up there. And so Irma and I knew that God had called us to pastor, and so we began to pray. And I went to some godly leadership, and I said, this is what I want to do. Getting a little bit older, my kids are still young, and I'm young. I want to make sure I have the energy to do this and the tenacity to keep going forward. And they said, you ought to really, if you want to be a pastor, you ought to pray and fast. It's a big decision, of course, for us. And so we prayed and fasted and sought God. And we had our first church opening in 1998, Leon Valley, home that we rented. The lady that rented it said, you can start your church here. Children's church was in the garage. Amen. Still remember my children were part of that. And the living room church was happening. We had a boom box. Some of y'all don't even remember what a boom box was. Amen. Overhead projector and that sort of thing. So the thought is here about the personal will of God, which leads me to this thought. The more I get to know the sovereign will of God by knowing God and the moral will of God, the better I discern the personal will of God. Somebody say the personal will of God. I want you to stay in bounds so you keep running and doing what God wants you to do today. I want you to get off the bench, get onto the field. And there's this moral question that I have for everyone in this room that I didn't include in your notes. It's extra notes, and it's this on the big screen. And it says this on the big screen: what am I not doing that I should be doing today? It's not so much, well, I'm doing this or that. All of us in this room, I believe God has this personal assignment for us to do. And that's the sweet spot. That's where God has us. That's where God really wants to move. And God wants you to be that obedient child, that obedient one that would walk with Him and say, I'm doing the will of God for my life now. Amen. We can do all these things that are good and not do the right thing. And that's what's important in life, to find the will of God for your life today. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah. This isn't a one-time thing that I ask myself. It's not a one-time. I finally arrived. I'm a pastor. I'm an evangelist. I'm doing this. I'm a mom. I'm married. It's not that. I'm a dad. I have children. Every day we ask ourselves, what am I not doing today that I should be doing? And something will come to you to do the will of God every day in your life. Do you understand that today? There's always someone's prayer that you can answer today. Amen, everybody? That's why I highlighted the serve team that cleans the building every week. Because if you ask any of them, from the Philpotts to the Ziegler's to Connie Cardenas, I bet you they would tell you something like this. You know, it's so much more clearer now when we began to serve the Lord. We began to do something practical in the church. You know how it goes. When you serve God, something just happens to you. Something, man, I'm doing what God wants me to do. I got to pray with a bunch of people. I got to do something that as I cleaned the toilet, amen, my soul got cleaned. Remember that story? Yeah, God cleaned me when I cleaned up the church, right? And He did something within my life today, amen. In this room, you're kicking the tires, and I invite you to stay comfortable. Maybe you were wore out at your past church. But some of us in this room are seasoned attenders. And I'm just prodding you a little bit. Oh, here he goes. He's asking for help. Do we need it? We're doing okay. We really are. But what your touch would bring would be something amazing, something that we've never had, something that we need in this church. And so when you come alongside and serve, just things get better. Amen. There's clarity. And you know what would get better? It's not us that we get better. You get better because you start serving today. Because the work of God is being done. You're here, you arrive, and God's will is being done today. So I need you to step up into bold leadership, bold servanthood today. Because a song still needs to be sung. It hasn't been sung because you haven't sang it. An instrument still needs to be picked up that hasn't been picked up, and you play it like nobody else has played it. A teach needs to happen that hasn't been taught in the adult daycare because you haven't taught it. A preach needs to happen somewhere, amen, that hasn't been preached because you haven't. Oh, I'm preaching myself silly up here, amen, because you ain't saying amen today, amen. Somebody needs to overcome something that hasn't been overcome because you haven't shown them how to overcome today, amen. Small group hasn't happened. No one has shown up because you haven't formed it and led it today. Something needs to be done for the glory of God and give God all the glory right in this room today, right, everybody? Yeah, that's good today, amen. Give God the glory. Things just improve when the power of God comes upon you and you lead something today. Amen. There are four questions that you get answered when you do the will of God that you have to answer when you're doing the will of God. Number one is this: am I in the right relationship with God? Are you in right relationship with God? I don't know. You know if you are today. There's this thing that we've gotten away from at Living Faith Church because we've purposed ourselves not to do this, but we don't want dead religion. We want relationship with God. And if it were so, see the chairs that are all around you? Those chairs would go to heaven because they're here every Sunday. They're doing everything. They never miss a Sunday at Living Faith. And aren't they amazing Christians? Man, they're here. They're givers, these chairs. Amen? But they're just chairs. You're the one with the relationship. You're the one with the heartbeat. You're the one that has it. God, this is, I'm not grandfathered in because my daddy served Jesus. My grandfather served Jesus. Now, I get their coattails. I'm riding on their coattails. God doesn't have grandchildren like that. God has sons and daughters that are firstborn. So I can't count on my daddy's relationship for my relationship with Jesus. I bring it. Their commercial used to be, this isn't your father's Oldsmobile. You drive your own Oldsmobile. You bring it, right, everybody? And so you show up and follow God's plan today. Amen. We never contradict God's word. Do y'all know what this term is called, missionary dating? Wave a hanky at me if you do. Boy, you haven't been in my youth group when I used to teach my youth group. Missionary dating's like this, leaving the family of God and going outside the family of God and saying, I'm going to win her for Jesus because she's so beautiful. She's supposed to be a Christian. I'm going to date her until she becomes a Christian. I'm going to date him, young lady, you say, and I'm going to win him over. And he's going to tell you, yes, 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 I'll do everything. And then the wedding's going to happen, and he's never going to come to church with you. This isn't for anybody here. There was these two girls that we knew in my 20s, and they were growing up in our church. We were all growing up as young adults, and they're the tale of two Patties. I call them. They're both named Patty. One of the Patties found a man of God in the local church. There's no better place to find the man of God than in the church. Thank God for the church. Amen. And anyway, she found this man of God, and he began to serve God, and they served God together. They finally got married. Well, this other Patty, she was turning like 23, and she was thinking, I'm going to be an old maid, and I need to find somebody, and she got desperate. This was the day before Match.com and the other thing, ChristianMingle.com. They didn't have any of that back when I was 20. But she began looking. She found this guy. This guy was a good man, but he wasn't a Christian man. He was a worldly man. He knew nothing of God. And he promised her and promised her, I'll come to church with you. I'll come to church. He never did. Finally, they had this thing where he proposed to her. She got so head over heels, they were going to get married in Las Vegas. And the date was set. Parents were going to let their daughter go out the house and fly on the plane, Southwest Airlines, with this man, and they were going to get married in Vegas, have a Vegas wedding. Well, noon came when he was supposed to pick her up. 1 o'clock came. Parents are looking at their watch. 2 o'clock came. Brother Worldly, if I can call it, he never showed up. Heartbroken girl. Parents are angry at this man. She finally got a hold of him like 2 weeks later. He just couldn't commit. And her heart was broken over the situation. I know that the will of God, the relationship of God, that we have with people and the Bible, what it says, will never contradict the Word. See, there's this principle in God's Word that says that we're not to be unyoked, equally unyoked with unbelievers. You're not that we're better than them, but when it comes to intimacy and relationship, you're supposed to find somebody that's like-minded, somebody that you can walk with the rest of your life. Do you understand that today? Boy, it's quiet, amen. I never try to adjust God's Word to me. I adjust to God's Word. One size doesn't fit all. God's Word doesn't give me, you know, God's Word gives me that, and I'm supposed to follow God. Never take God's Word and say, I'm going to adjust it to me and my lifestyle and put it that way. Are y'all getting anything this morning? Are you glad you came to Living Faith? Yeah. We had that bracelet on years ago. What would Jesus do? The WWJD. Does anybody still own one? Remember those bracelets? Yeah. You got it in the drawer, right, still? Jesus had this little brother named James, and he saw everything Jesus did. James, the little brother growing up, half-brother of Jesus. He saw Jesus turn water into wine. He saw Jesus perform these miracles, and he got so a hold of it that he says, I gotta follow my brother just because of what he's doing. He has the goods. How many know in family that's real hard? Look at me, everybody. See, I know everything that my older brother Joe did. I know the hypocrisy. I know the hypocrisy in my family. I know I'm the only one. But you know all the junk that happens in your family, right? I know my sister, and she knows all the stuff I've done, and vice versa. But for somebody, because you say, well, you know, they're kind of like this, but they're a little bit shifty, just make sure you get the money before you do. You know what I'm saying? About even your own family. Is everybody like that? James was so convinced about his big brother Jesus that he never saw one impure thing that he did because he was Jesus. Never saw one wicked thing, one curse word flow out of his mouth, one thing that he wasn't unchecked on. Jesus did it all, even as a big brother. Imagine James at the wedding. Later on, after the first wedding that he went to, Jesus had gone on to heaven, and now it's James' turn. Well, James, would you turn that water into water? Your brother did it. Can you do it? And James wasn't like his big... Well, how many times did James hear, why can't you be like your big brother? Man, I can't be like Jesus, right? Can you imagine that question? You don't read the Bible. In James chapter 3, it says this, and it's in your handout. Are y'all there with me today? It says, do not harbor bitter envy. Are y'all there with me? And selfish ambition in your heart. Do not boast about it or deny it. This is earth wisdom. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly. It's unscriptural. Man, James gets rough. It's of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, you will find disorder in every evil practice. It's not what the Bible says. But wisdom that comes from heaven is first what? It's pure, then peaceful. It's loving, it's considerate, it's submissive, it's full of mercy. It's good fruit, it's impartial, and what? It's what? Yeah. And so the third principle is this. Have I sought godly counsel? This is real important. This is big time. You just don't consider it. You say, I'm going to go ahead and talk one day to that person. But you go ahead and do it, and you have godly counsel that's come. You ask other godly people. There's a lot of people that will give you opinion. The radio will give you opinion. The internet will give you opinion. Facebook will give you an opinion. But you ask godly people. You go towards personal accountability on this. You go towards someone. That's why a small group is such a blessing, because you can get feedback from people. And everybody, you sit in that group and say, what do you think about this? And they pray with you. You get another view. We do church council this way. Anybody that comes to the church council and oversees the finances of this church, here's how we live it. You're new to it. We go like this. You go, look, if we ever have a disagreement in this room, no one's going to shout, because that's not biblical. That's disorder. No one's going to get angry and slam the Bible down about them. No, we're not going to do that in this church. This is how we're going to do it. If we disagree, we're going to be like this. We're going to be cool about it. We're going to go, hey, you know what? I just don't agree with that, about that move financially. Okay, we don't have 100% agreement. Here's what we do. Let's step back and let's go ahead and pray about it. And if we're real serious about it, some of us need to fast in this room. And that's when we really start praying, because nobody wants to miss a meal. Give me a good... Pray. And we come back the next month or the next week, no matter how serious, or if it's real serious. And we come back and we go, look, did we pray about it? Yeah. How do we feel about it? Well, I'm still waiting. Okay, let's pray about it another week. And if it's 2 years later, then something's forgotten about. Give me a good amen. If it's not, here's what happens. Well, we prayed about it. God saw us through. God met the provision. Or we don't, you know what? We don't even need to do it. And that's the way life should be when we seek godly counsel. You get another point of view, because sometimes your opinion is real biased. Because yourself, no, man, y'all are quiet this morning. You get somebody better than you, and they give you wisdom, and they speak into your life, and it's good. That's why Proverbs 11:14, you haven't had any fun all day. Why don't you read that with me? It's one sentence, 100%. Let's read it until the ceiling tiles shake. Come on, everybody. Right, everybody? Man, I'm the only one excited in church today. I'm glad I came. Amen. Proverbs 11:14. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. For the lack of guidance, but many advisors... And that's for sure when you have victory and many advisors that are godly. Finally, number four. Here it goes. Number one, four. Do I sense God's, still, small voice of the Lord? I love when God speaks in a still, small voice. I'm not really for the thunder or the earthquake. Are God knocking me off and I'm blind for 3 days? God's spoken like that in the past, but the majority of times that He speaks to saints, just like us, it's a still, small voice. And when there's thunder, and when God is making people blind for 3 days and knocking you off a high horse, or He's having this mount of transfiguration, and there's disciples up there, and they're seeing something like that, that, you know, it's like this boom moment, and God's speaking like that. You know what happens to people that get spoken to like that? I want God to speak to me in some thunder. I want God to speak to me in some lightning. You know what happens to people that get spoken to like that? It means you're going to die. There's a mission unto death. That's why God has to show up so dramatic, that you're going to take this thing and someone's going to die. It's you. It's going to be you. You're going to die. It's a mission unto death. How many want the small, still voice of God? Yeah, give me that all day long, because that means I'm going to keep living a little bit longer, and I'm going to keep doing the God. Yeah, maybe again, amen. I love my wife because of a couple of things. Her beauty, but I love that when she hears from God and we're together on this thing, that I want to go do something and she'll say, no, hold up, Jeffro. You might want to consider this, or I'm just not sensing a peace. And women have that ability. I don't know what it is. God put that within them. And they have this check. I got something, and we wait. And man, honestly, 100% the times that I've listened to her and we waited, God has really saved me from a lot and saved us from a lot as a family and saved us as a leader in this church even. And I thank God for it, right, everybody? Listen to your wife when she's listening to God. It's a good thing, man of God. Isn't that good? Yes? 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of... I feel so good about Him. I love Him. I feel so good about her. I love her. I feel so good. They even spiritualize it. I sense this peace. They bring God into it. Well, it's not peace if you're leaving your husband. It's not peace if you're leaving your husband and child for another man or another woman. Amen? Don't spiritualize it. God's not into that. Have the peace of God. Is it the will of God or is it my will today? We should have a healthy practice as believers in this room today. I'm almost finished. Believe it or not, last fill in the blank. I know I'm boring some of you guys. I see it on your face. Please. I'm almost finished. Please, please. The healthy desires of a believer would be like this, would say, Lord, this morning I'm going to have these desires that are ungodly. I'm given to that, Lord. You know how I lie. You know how I look that way, and I shouldn't be looking that way. You know how I'm tempted with that situation. But I'm praying that I won't do my will, Lord, that I'll do your will today, and the kingdom of God will come. And that's not just a one-time prayer again. It's an everyday prayer that you get the kingdom of God established in your heart, and you set the course of your day in prayer, and you do God's will, and God's peace will come to your life today. Amen. Not what I want, but what you want, Lord. On a late night, 2,000 years ago, on a mount called Olive, Jesus rose and he went up that mountain so he could have a higher view, and the setting was so important to him that he could get a different perspective. And he began to pound this rock and pound the rock, and he was in agony until blood sweat from his pores, and it was coming down because of the decision that he had to make and the decision that going forward. And he came to the place of prayer, a place that he usually visited that God met him, and it was his place. And so in Matthew 24, it says, 26 on the big screen, I believe in your handout. Let's read it together, the last scripture that we'll read today as a church. 1, 2, 3, go. My Father, the words of Jesus. Would the lights get a little bit lower, Sophia, if you'll help me out with that? And you can come up and help me, sir. We're driven by unholy desires that will set us off not to do the will of God. Every one of us in this room, not judging you, just you're human. That's why heaven needs to come to your heart on a daily basis. And God, do I just stay at the prayer altar? Do I just keep praying and fasting? It's not about that. It's about doing the will of God and deciding, this is what God's told me to do, and I don't have time for sin. I love God so much that I'm going to keep going forward. I'm speaking to somebody in this room today. You're listening. Some of you I'm making mad right now because I'm saying this, but that's okay.